It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
The first time we heard the word supercalifragilisticexpialidocious was in the Disney movie Mary Poppins, and most people assumed that those 14 syllables of nonsense were created by songwriter Robert B. Sherman, who died last month at the age of 86. But as with most things, its provenance is a bit more complicated, and here to set the history of the tongue twister straight is word sleuth, dictionary editor, linguist, lexicographer, and Boston Globe language columnist Ben Zimmer. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, actually, that song was written by the Sherman Brothers.
Right.
And Robert was the one who wrote the words?
Robert and Richard, the Sherman Brothers, were credited with writing the song that appeared in Mary Poppins. So it was in the news last month because Robert had passed away, and they were talking about their songs that they had made for Disney, and this is perhaps their most famous contribution.
And people assume that they came up with the word supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
That's the assumption, that it was just made for the song, but it has a bit of a contentious history because there were different claims on the word. When the movie became successful, it came out in 1964, there was actually a lawsuit disputing whether that they actually came up with the song on their own or if they were inspired by a previous song with a similar title.
By somebody who called herself Glorious. Glory Parker?
Glorious Gloria Parker and her songwriting partner, Barney Young, had written a song way back in 1949, and there was a version recorded in 1951 with a very similar title. It was Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, just a couple changes there. And so they sued Disney for $12 million, claiming that this was copyright infringement.
And what happened?
Well, the court case was eventually thrown out because first the judge said that the songs were not musically similar. But another thing that came up in the court case, they said they didn't, earlier songwriters didn't have a claim on the word because there was evidence that the word had been used before they composed that song in 1949. And there were even affidavits stating that this word was known by people back in the 1930s.
And there's a woman named Helen Herman who wrote for the Syracuse Daily Orange a column called Amusings. What did she have to say about the word?
Well, this was really fun to track down. There was this article that appeared in 1931 in the Daily Orange where Helen Herman introduced the word again with a slight variation on it, but pretty much the same word. She had it as supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. She claimed to have invented the word, and she talked about it in 1931 as this wonderful word that was hard to say, but by the time you finish saying it, you feel like you've said a few paragraphs.
And you have.
Yeah, exactly. So that was something of a smoking gun that actually the Disney researchers tracked down. They didn't actually get the article until after the court case had wrapped up, but it was really a smoking gun showing that, yes, this word had been existing for a while. The Shermans said they had heard it back in the 1930s when they were at a summer camp called Camp Equinunk in northeastern Pennsylvania. So clearly there were lots of people coming up with variations of this very long word before it was put to music.
Should we assume that Helen Herman invented it, or is it just something that was in the air at the time?
Well, she claims have coined it, but so did Barney Young, one of the original songwriters. He said he came up with it when he was a child in Massachusetts in 1921. The Shermans thought that the kids at Camp Equinunk had come up with it. So we can't say for sure. I think it was just floating around, something that was passed orally, maybe, you know, by kids at camp and that sort of thing before it became famous.
But it's also one of the first times we hear the word super, isn't it? Or is that something the British invented to cover everything that we might say great?
Super, I think, was an adjective that could be used certainly once Superman became popular. I think that helped with words beginning with super and the adjective super itself to describe things.
Well, can you actually claim the rights to a word?
Well, generally you can't, but the judge had said in his ruling that because this word was so fanciful that if these songwriters had come up with the word themselves, then maybe they would have a right to it. And the judge actually said, well, like Lewis Carroll with Jabberwocky, he came up with "'Twas brillig and the slithy toves," and that's distinct enough and fanciful enough that there could be a claim to it. Usually, you can't do that with a single word. You can't have a claim to it in that way. But because it was such an unusual word, it was actually seen as possibly you could have a copyright claim on it. But because it was used before 1949, that fell apart.
Now, it's not in my American Heritage Dictionary. Has it made it into any other dictionaries?
A few. Actually, Random House, as early as 1966, put it in their dictionary. And the Oxford English Dictionary has an entry for it as well, which also has a note explaining the legal battle over the word.
And then people had to decide on the correct spelling.
That's true. That's true. You do see different spellings floating around, but that's always been the case. There's sort of the official spelling that's been promoted by Disney with Mary Poppins, and that's the one most people use.
Now, do you have a favorite nonsense word, or is this your favorite?
Favorite nonsense word? Well, certainly Lewis Carroll came up with a lot of great ones. When I talked to Richard Sherman, songwriter, he talked about all the crazy words that they came up with on their own, and that included, let's see, I think there was clabulation. I don't know. He was just talking about how double talk was really popular. There's a whole
chitty chitty bang bang is one of theirs, isn't it?
Yeah, they did actually do the music for that as well, and they have some other great examples like fortuosity from The Happiest Millionaire or gratifaction from Tom Sawyer. So there's a great tradition of just making up crazy words for the purposes of song or just for the purposes of fun.
And then we see it even in Shakespeare made up words, but even more recently, someone like David Foster Wallace would play fast and loose with the language.
Yes. Well, that's the great thing about language is it's available for anyone to play with, to come up with interesting new words. And sometimes they actually make it into the language and make it into the dictionaries.
Have you invented any of your own?
Let me think. I've made up a few that haven't actually made it into the dictionary. For instance, those cursing characters that you might see in a comic strip mm-hmm. when somebody is cursing, but all you see are stars and shapes and exclamation points. I call those obscenicons or obscenicons, if you prefer. That's one example of a word that I made up, but I don't expect that necessarily to enter the dictionaries.
I'm going to steal it and call it expletacons.
Very good.
You're going to sue me?
No. It's all part of building language together. You know, one person riffs off another person's creation and the story marches on.
Thank you so much for finding out the real story behind supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Last month you told us about the surprising origins of jazz. Are you working on some others? You don't have to reveal it now until you come up with them.
I'm looking into some newer words and words that have become popular. For instance, meta, everybody's talking about that's so meta, that sort of thing, and looking at when people started talking that
and
way.
And meh, what about M-E-H? Suddenly it's all over the place.
Yeah, that's one I have written about, actually. Meh's got a little Yiddishism that actually spread very interestingly, in large part thanks to The Simpsons popularizing it, but now we see meh all over the place used to describe things that just don't excite your interest or people. Very often, for instance, in the case of Mitt Romney being dubbed Meh Romney.
Ben Zimmer is a language columnist for the Boston Globe and executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You know, you can say it backwards, which is docious alley expiastic fragicali rufus, but that's going a bit too far, don't you think? So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay.
Hear it.
Just summon up this word, and then you've got a lot to say.